Well, this service is going to be a little different than what you're used to because we're going to kind of jump right in to the message part of this service. But the service, hopefully, in some ways, will be more of an experience where I hope that you will have an opportunity to encounter God. Because this morning we're talking about one of our core values. And the core value is the value of us practicing spiritual disciplines. If you've been here over the past almost 7 weeks, really, I think this is the sixth week, we've been going over what our core values are as a church. And your core values, whether it be as an organization or as a group of people like we are, a fellowship, the body of Christ, or whether it is as an individual, what your core values do is they kind of explain or guide who you are, or if you write them down, maybe who you want to be. And so what we've been doing is we've been looking at a set of core values that our leaders have come up with. They're all biblical, but they've sat down and they say, hey, this is really, I think, who we are, or if we're not this, this is who we want to be. And so this morning we're going to look at the idea of practicing spiritual disciplines, and this is how our leaders defined spiritual disciplines, how we want to practice and who we want to be. They defined them like this. They say, we value practicing the spiritual disciplines of prayer, Bible study, fellowship, service, and worship. We will encourage it so that people have the opportunity to mature in the faith. And so what are spiritual disciplines? Spiritual disciplines simply exist for God to communicate grace to his people. The ancient writers actually used to call spiritual disciplines the means of grace. They are how we discover more of God's love. And the disciplines, by the way, as we discover more of God's love, are not a way to earn God's favor, to earn God's love, or to even force God's hand to show up in our life. Instead, they are how we experience God's love and favor on a daily basis as we practice them and enter into them. So the spiritual disciplines, they open us up and prepare us to receive God's blessings, God's joy, and God's comfort. They are what help make the Christian life special and spirit-empowered. So God wants us to flourish. We know this. God wants us to have abundant life. And therefore, after you come to follow Christ, after Christ offers you salvation, and after you receive salvation, God is not going to leave us on the vine to just kind of die, to be on our own, not know kind of where to go or what to do or how to experience life with God. And so as we think about the disciplines, what the disciplines are, what they act like, they're like a river that irrigates your soul, a river that irrigates your life and brings it life. It's the well that communicates and satisfies the thirst for God's grace and power in your life. With that said, they do basically three different things. They maybe do more, but I know three things that I can point you to that the spiritual disciplines do. And here they are. I'm going to move through them quickly. The spiritual disciplines help you grow and go deeper in the things of God. It's how we train ourselves for godliness, as Paul tells Timothy in 1 Timothy 4:7. They are to get more of God in your heart, in your mind, and in your soul, so that you will echo God's ways in your life. In other words, they are ways to help you to desire what God desires, to provoke you to pursue what God pursues, and they give you strength that you need to be faithful to God on a daily basis. They are your root system. The more you practice them, the stronger your faith becomes. The less you practice them, the weaker your faith becomes. And the harder the wind blows, the easier it is for you to be blown off of the track that you were on as you decided to follow Jesus. The second thing that spiritual disciplines do is they help you to become more like Christ in your life. The spiritual disciplines help us to be conformed in the image of his Son, as Paul says in Romans 8, and how God, who began a good work in you, will bring it to completion, as we're told in Philippians 1:6. Finally, the spiritual disciplines are a way for you to know Jesus and who he is. They are how you live out your relationship with God. Hosea 6:3 says, let us press on to know the Lord. Knowing and enjoying Jesus is the primary goal of spiritual disciplines. I want you to hear that one more time. Knowing and hearing from Jesus is the primary goal of spiritual disciplines. And John 17:3, Jesus says, this is eternal life, that they know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. Although spiritual disciplines will help you grow deeper, Spiritual growth does not come from focusing on your own Christ-likeness. Don't focus on yourself becoming like Christ. Rather, focus on Jesus Christ himself. So, here's what we're going to do this morning. I can sit up here and I could preach for a long time on the reasons to practice spiritual disciplines, on what they do for you, how to, all of those sorts of things. I could do much longer than you want to be here, right? But I'm not going to do that. What I'm going to do this morning is I've set up this service so that you would have an experience and that you would actually, we together would get to practice the spiritual disciplines together. And so we mentioned a number of spiritual disciplines that we want to encourage and that we want to teach as the church. The first is Bible reading and meditation. I'm going to teach briefly on why it's important to read your Bible and to meditate on the scriptures, and then we're going to hear from people reading the Bible, and we're going to meditate on those. And then we'll move to prayer, and then we're going to move to worship, and then we're going to move to fellowship. So here we go. In John's Gospel, here's what we're told. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and he was in the beginning with God. God reveals who he is in the Bible. Yet, God's self-revelation culminates in Jesus. Jesus is the most complete revelation of God. No one embodies God like Jesus. Jesus shows up and there's the Word. There's everything that the Bible has been pointing to right there in Jesus. This is what John 1:1-2 points to. Is the Bible is not pointing us to itself. It's actually pointing us to something greater than itself, and that is Jesus Christ himself. However, we know God most fully right now as we are, right, as we come through the scriptures, because the scriptures point us to Jesus. So if we lose our love for the scriptures, we actually lose ourselves for the one true God whom Jesus represents. And so they go hand in hand. We don't worship the scriptures, we worship Jesus, but the scriptures point us to Jesus. And so we come to the scriptures, and we love the scriptures, and we meditate on the scriptures, and we try to understand the scriptures, and we try to obey the scriptures, because as we do, we are encountering the Christ that was sent to this earth. So at this time, I've asked that we have a number of readers come up. We have three different readers come up, and I've asked our worship team to come up, and they're going to play for us as they read, as we meditate on these scriptures, and then we're going to sing together after they read. But they're going to read from the Word this morning. And so what I ask of you is to simply listen and to meditate on what they are saying before we come up and have a time of prayer.
Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. He is like a tree planted by streams of water that yields its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither. In all that he does, he prospers.
Blessed are those whose way is blameless, who walk in the law of the Lord. Blessed are those who keep it, who also do no wrong, but walk in his ways. Now can a young man keep this his way pure? By guarding it according to your word, with my whole heart, I seek you. Let me not wander from your commandments. I have stored up your word in my heart, that I might not sin against you. You have dealt well with your servant, O Lord, according to your word. Teach me good judgment and knowledge, for I believe in your commandments. Before I was afflicted, I went astray. But now I keep your word. You are good and do good. Teach me your statutes. Oh, how I love your law. It is my meditation all the day. Your commandment makes me wiser than my enemies, for it is ever with me. I have more understanding than all my teachers, for your testimonies are my meditation. I understand more than the aged, for I keep your precepts. I hold back my feet from every evil way in order to keep your word. I do not turn aside from your rules, for you have taught me. How sweet are your words to my taste, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Through your precepts, I get understanding. Therefore, I hate every false way. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path.
From John, from John we read, his disciples said, now you are speaking plainly and not using figurative speech. Now we know that you know all things and do not need anyone to question you. This is why we believe that you came from God. Jesus answered them, do you now believe? Behold, the hour is coming. Indeed, it has come when you will be scattered, each to his own home, and will leave me alone. Yet I am not alone, for the Father is with me. I have said these things to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but take heart, I have overcome the world. When Jesus had spoken these words, he lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that the Son may glorify you, since you have given him authority over all flesh, to give eternal life to all whom you have given him. And this is eternal life, that they know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. I glorified you on earth, having accomplished the work that you gave me to do. And now, Father, glorify me in your own presence with the glory that I had with you before the world existed. I have manifested your name to the people whom you gave me out of the world. Yours they were, and you gave them to me, and they have kept your word. Now they know that everything that you have given words that you gave me, and they have received them and have come to know in truth that I came from you, and they have believed that you sent me. I am praying for them. I am not praying for the world, but for those whom you have given me, for they are yours. All mine are yours, and yours are mine. And I am glorified in them, and I am no longer in the world, but they are in the world, and I am coming to you. Holy Father, keep them in your name, which you have given me, that they may be one, even as we are one. While I was with them, I kept them in your name, which you have given me. I have guarded them, and not one of them has been lost except the Son of Destruction, that the scripture may be fulfilled. But now I am coming to you, and these things I speak in the world, that they may have my joy fulfilled in themselves. I have given them your word, and the world has hated them because they are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. I do not ask that you take them out of the world, but that you keep them from the evil one. They are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. Sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, so I have sent them into the world. And for their sake, I consecrate myself, that they also may be sanctified in truth. I do not ask for these only, but also for those who will believe in me through their word, that they may all be one, just as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they also may be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. The glory that you gave, that you have given me, I have given to them, that they may be one even as we are one. I in them and you in me, that they may become perfectly one, so that the world may know that you sent me and love them even as you loved me. Father, I desire that they also, whom you have given me may be with me where I am, to see my glory that you have given me because you loved me before the foundation of the world. O righteous Father, even though the world does not know you, I know you, and these know that you have sent me. I made known to them your name, and I will continue to make it known, that the love with which you have loved me may be in them, and I in them.
Bible reading and meditation, we hear God's voice. In prayer, we have God's ear. To simplify prayer, it's when we speak to God. God is a person and he's personal. Prayer is how we use words to communicate to God who has given us his word. When we come to God confidently because we know he has great love for us. But we also come to him humbly. We aren't God's peers. He is our creator. And we are the created. He is our great Lord, and we are his joyful servants. He is our Father, and we are his children. The early church, we are told, devoted themselves to prayer in the book of Acts and wanted to be constant in prayer in Romans. They encouraged each other to pray without ceasing, as Paul wrote to the church at Thessalonica. And so we should do the same. If you don't know how to pray, Jesus tells us. He says to pray like this: Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us of our debts. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. This prayer teaches us how to pray. Our prayers, therefore, shouldn't begin with our needs, but remembering God, remembering how awesome and powerful he is, He is a powerful Father who rules the heavens, and his name is great. He can create and recreate just by the power of his word. So begin your prayers by remembering how good and how great God is and what he can do. And because God is good, we pray for God's kingdom to come and his will to be done. So we are reminded here in the Lord's Prayer to pray for what God wants. Prayer is more about getting God to accomplish his will than our own attempts to getting God to accomplish ours. Nevertheless, we should not forget to pray for our daily needs, like our daily bread. God is interested in your needs. He's interested in our needs. So we should pray on a daily basis for our needs and the needs of others, because he will supply us with the simplest of our needs. Further, we're told in prayer to confess our sins. Pray to be forgiven and thank God for his forgiveness. The spiritual disciplines are, remember, means of grace. Therefore, we must remember God's grace and thank him for his grace on a daily basis. Finally, we pray that we would resist temptation. When it comes our way, we are to go to God and ask that he helps us to resist the temptation of evil that does come our way on a daily basis as well. And so this morning, here's what I want to do. I want us to have a time of prayer. I'm opening the altars up at this time. If you want to come to the altar and pray, there are two altars here. You can come and pray at the altars. Maybe there's something going on in your life that you need to pray for. Maybe you've come this morning and you need to praise God and you want to do it on your knees from the altars. Maybe there's somebody that you want to pray for, that God has laid somebody on your heart that he has called you to. He has called you to help. He has called you to lead to Christ. He has called you to help provide for, whatever it may be. You can do this at the altars. You can do this at your seat, but pray. If you want to pray for healing, or if you want me to pray for you specifically, if you want me to anoint you with oil, as James tells us to, I'll anoint you with oil and I'll pray with you. So if you want to come down to the center here, I'll stand in the center aisle for a few minutes here, and I'll pray for anybody who wants to be prayed over this morning as well. But it's important that we come and we pray. And so let us pray. Charlie is going to play as we pray, but you can come forward. And we're going to take a few minutes here during our service and devote ourselves to prayer. I will come up then and I'll conclude our prayer time with prayer. So you may come. Thank you. Let us all pray as a church. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. We believe that you are great and that you are good and that you are here this morning through your Spirit. And so we know that we can come to you, and we know that you listen to us because we know that you love us. You have made that known through your Son, Jesus. And so we give you great thanks for that. We pray that as we come to you, Father, that your will would be done here on earth as it is in heaven. We ask that as we come to you this morning, as we read your word, as we pray, as we worship, as we fellowship with one another, Father, that you would speak clearly to us, that you would guide us, and that you would have us to do what you would have us to do at any moment that you would have us to do it. We do pray for our daily needs. They are many. Some need to be healed. Some delivered. Some comforted. Some may be convicted. Some of us need things as simply as our daily bread. We wonder, Father, where our next meal is going to come from or whether or not we'll be provided for. So we ask you for that. Father, we pray that you help deliver us from evil and from temptation. One of those things, Father, is we pray that you help us to forgive those who we need to forgive. You've called us to forgive just as you have forgiven us, and so we ask that we forgive those whom we need to forgive. And we can do so through the power of your gospel, remembering that you have forgiven us for everything that we have ever done. We pray that as we are being tempted not to follow you at any certain time, Father, that you would help us to resist temptation, to love you more than that, to love you more than the things that come our way that lead us astray from you. And Father, as I conclude this prayer, I pray that we give you thanks and praise for the people in our church. We give you praise and thanks for Pat and Liz Curry, who aren't here this week because they're off on a job trip to New York City. We're thankful for the way that you are blessing Liz through her work and all that she does. We thank you for Pat and his service to this church and his leadership here, and we pray, Father, that they are enjoying their time away. Father, we give you thanks for Jerry and Kathy Dietrich. They are wonderful servants who show many of us how to follow you in a real and a tangible way. So we are thankful for them and their encouragement and their fellowship in this place. We pray, Father, that you bless them and guide them as you would each one of us who are here this morning. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So we're doing our service a little backwards this morning. Usually we begin with kind of worship and then we get into the message, but now we are going to worship. And as we worship, we celebrate God's greatness in worship. That's a spiritual discipline that we all practice together. In Revelation 7, 9, and 10, we are told this, and this is a vision of kind of the throne room of God. It says, a multitude that no one could number from every nation, from all tribes and from all peoples and languages, standing before the throne, before the Lamb, clothed in white robes with the palm branches in their hand and crying out with a loud voice, salvation belongs to our God, sits on the throne and to the Lamb. When worship is spirit-filled, when it's sincere, when it's vibrant, it's focused on Jesus, the Lamb that was slain for us. As the song goes, worship is when we forget about ourselves and concentrate on him and worship him. It's lifting up holy hands and magnifying him. It's when we stand complete in him and worship him, Jesus Christ, our Lord. In Revelation here, we are shown that worship is a glimpse of heaven. And so before we move on to the next part of our service this morning, I'm going to ask that you stand and worship with us as the worship team comes forward and leads us in worship.
Sweet hour of prayer.
No, keep going. You may be seated. So this is a very special morning because we get to baptize this morning. We are excited to have Victoria Burdett here this morning. She has decided to follow Jesus. to repent of her sins and to believe on Jesus Christ and to give her entire life to Jesus. And so I'm excited to get to celebrate in baptism as we remember that Jesus was baptized not because he had any sins to repent of, but because it was an expression to show that he was the Son of God and that we should also be baptized as we decide to follow Jesus. And we are told each and every time in the New Testament after somebody comes to faith, kind of one of the next things that they should do is to be baptized, to go underneath the water, to remember that we have died to self and to come up, and to remember that we have become alive to God, that we have given our life to Christ, and that we are in Christ. And so I'm going to allow Victoria here to share a little bit of what she wants to share with you this morning, and I actually had to grab her back there because she was worshiping. Her eyes were closed, and she was just worshiping, and so this is just a wonderful thing. I'm like, Victoria, come on. But it's great to get to be a part of this, and so I'm so thankful for Victoria and her decision that she has made and her wanting to share with you. So,
my name's Victoria Burdett. This is our one-year anniversary of being with y'all at First Church. So glad to be here. So glad to be home. I was born to two different denominations. My father being Roman Catholic, my mother was Lutheran at the time and then became Presbyterian. I mostly grew up in the Presbyterian church with holidays going to Catholic church. When I was about 5 weeks old, I was baptized in the Catholic church. Cut to later on in life, I married my high school sweetheart who was in the Navy and we went over to Guam. It was my first time away from home. And we came home that year. That was in 1985. We came home for Christmas. And within 24 hours of stepping off the plane, my father suffered a lower abdominal aortal aneurysm. He spent 12 days in the hospital. During that 12 days on Christmas, my dad, after those 12 days, on January 4th of 86, passed away. I was very angry, to say the least, with God. If you fast forward to Holy Week, Todd is out to sea. I'm spending 6 months alone. And in the Presbyterian church where I went, United Presbyterian Church in Cuyahoga Falls, on Thursday we always celebrated the upper room and the Last Supper. Well, that night over on Guam, during the night, God sent my dad in a dream to me. And I had the most incredible conversation with him where he told me I needed to stop being angry with God. There's a lot to that dream and stuff, and anytime any of you would like to hear about it, I would love to share that with you. Long story short, I got to say goodbye to my dad. He said he couldn't do this very often, left, and I was basically born again. 33 more years, and we left the church that I grew up in for reasons that we felt our church wasn't taking us in the right direction. And I receive Rick Warren's Daily Hope every day in my email box at work at City Hall in Cuyahoga Falls. And there was this one series that he was sending over the summer that really struck a chord with me. And basically on a couple of them, it said, you know, you need to grant yourself some grace and let things go. Because following that, I'll tell you what, wherever we've gone to church, I've had plenty of opportunities to be baptized, but I never felt myself worthy. And it was through this time that I thought, oh my goodness, he's talking to me and he's pushing me on this. And he's like, you know what, you found the right place to be and call home. I want you to be baptized. And through a couple of those things, I said, okay. So I contacted Pastor Josh, and here we are. So going forward, I just, my whole dream is just to plant myself further and to be more family with all y'all. If anyone ever needs to be reached out to pray or to converse, I hope you'll turn to me. And I hope I can continue to turn to you guys. Thank you so much for being here today.
Thank you, Victoria. So I'm going to ask you a series of questions, and you'll have an opportunity to answer them. Do you renounce Satan and all the spiritual forces of wickedness that rebel against God?
I renounce him.
Do you renounce the evil powers of this world which corrupt and destroy the creatures of God?
I renounce them.
Do you renounce all sinful desires that draw you away from the love of God?
I do.
Do you turn to Jesus Christ and accept him as your Savior?
I do.
Do you put your whole trust in his grace and love?
I do.
Do you promise to follow and obey him as your Lord?
I will.
Before we dismiss this morning, we had one last spiritual discipline that we wanted to cover and make sure that we teach in the church. And we've talked about this in the past weeks, just as we've talked about Bible reading and so forth, but it's a fellowship. In fellowship, we were reminded that we belong to God's body. Jesus tells us that fellowship is so important that all people will know that you are my disciples if you have love for who? For one another. Hebrews 10:24-25 says, "Let us consider how to stir one another up in love and good works, not neglecting to meet together as some has a habit of, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day draw near." And so before you go, I want to encourage you to take a time of fellowship. If you have kids, you still have 15 minutes before you have to pick them up. All right. Not only that, but we also have provided some snacks out there. So we have donut holes and cider out there for you. And so as you leave, you have a reason to fellowship. You have food. It's always a good reason to fellowship. Let me leave you with a brief prayer, and then you are dismissed. Father, we give you thanks and praise because you love us, because you are here, because by your Spirit we have been able to have an experience with you. We thank you for Victoria and her baptism and what that represents. We ask now at this time that we show that we have love for one another as we love you, and it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.
I have decided.